This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Remember restaurant food? Of course, it has been possible for some Michiganders to go and sit down at their favorite places or take out, but there are many of us who haven't been to a restaurant since the pandemic began. Some of us have spent these months furtively trying to decide, is DoorDash better or safer than going to get carryout food? Still others have rediscovered the joys of eating right in the car. Dogs and Suds is a true old-fashioned drive-in with locations in Montague and Muskegon. Their burgers, fries, and floats, served with homemade root beer, carside, have always been a big draw. But these days, Dog and Suds, like so many other surviving Michigan drive-ins, is finding a new generation of customers within the pandemic. David Hostica owns both Dog and Suds locations in Michigan, and he's here now. David, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thanks for having me.
When did you start to notice that business was running, shall we say, higher than normal this year?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, immediately following the lockdown. It didn't take but a couple days, and we were escalating in traffic and scurrying to find additional help for us to handle the additional volume.
I guess it's a good problem to have.
It didn't take people long at all to realize that by design, the old-fashioned drive-in is limited contact. And it was actually, I believe that we were one of the few places that was able to, with slight modifications, of course, we were doing the sanitizing and the extra work to ensure everyone's safety, but we were able to operate at close to, if not 100% capacity.
Tell us about your menu.
Well, it's a traditional menu, burgers, fries, shakes, and malts. Dog and Suds has always been famous for their home recipe or original recipe draft style root beer and their Coney style hot dogs with the meat sauce on top. It's been a favorite in West Michigan, if not the Midwest, for gosh, going back to the mid-50s. It was originated in Champaign, Illinois in 1953.
It's its own kind of comfort food, isn't it?
It most certainly is. The most probably apropos comparison would be A&W, which I know a lot of Michiganders are also very familiar with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What is your usual calendar of operations? Do both of the locations usually stay open through the wintertime?
No, we are seasonal, as most drive-ins are this far north. We operate, generally speaking, from April through October. The Muskegon location, being that it's not right on the lake in a small little tourist town, we usually start about a month early and end about a month late, so we get a little bit of additional time out of this one.
So, I gotta ask, have you seen any signs of business slowing down in September this year?
Well, since school went back, it's most certainly leveled off, which, thank gosh, because we are still desperately short-staffed, and I know the people who work here have, including myself, have worked just crazy amounts of overtime pretty much all summer long. I know for the first 2 months I worked 7 days a week, open to close, and it was a pretty intense grind.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you how you're changing how Dog and Suds operates. I know in the past, part of the draw was that people driving in would use a push-button screen to order, and there was dine-in seating as well. What has changed in how you have people order and how they get their food?
Well, right now there's no dine-in. We basically just have, you know, a little mini menu and a speaker with a button installed at each parking spot, and as you mentioned, your customers just pull in and they have their own point of order. And once their order is placed and their food is prepared, the usually a young student, entry-level worker, brings it out to your car window and transacts the exchange and just comes back to the kitchen. So it's very limited contact.
But at the same time, I imagine it is a little different experience than most of your customers are used to. But have you had any comments about how that's working out for people or whether they miss the old system?
It's actually very convenient. I know I've had comments about the drive-through lines in other area restaurants being long and slow and error-prone, and we don't have that experience. Our customers pull in, and they're comfortably able to wait until they've looked at the menu, had a chance to make their selections, and once they're ready, they can just simply depress the little button. A tone in the inside near the kitchen alerts us that a customer is ready to order. We answer the call and ask whatever questions need to be answered, such as dipping sauce and, you know, salad dressings and things like that, and able to get the order out with pretty good accuracy. One thing that we're not doing, I know we're famous for our hanging the little tray on the side of the car window and frosty mugs of root beer, and that's the one thing that unfortunately at the curb we're not able to continue right now during the pandemic.
Oh, but you can still get a float. It just won't hang on the side of your car.
Yeah, it's just in a paper cup instead of a glass mug right now.
Well, it still tastes just as good, I'm
sure. Absolutely.
So, I mean, everyone is working so hard just to get through this right now. I hesitate to even ask, but what do you think is ahead for your business if this rolls into another year?
Gosh, thinking forward is is almost impossible right now because everything that we believe to be true seems to be incorrect right now. I imagine that it's going to continue to benefit our style of service, and we see no reason to change our venue or adapt in any other ways. That it's working out pretty well for us with the minor changes that we've already made. So the only thing that we, like I said, are kind of desperately in need of is additional, especially daytime help. I've got plenty of students that work night and weekends, but since the kids are back in school, we are just desperately short of day help.
Do you think that you've turned some people on to drive-ins who, you know, maybe hadn't visited as kids and, you know, didn't really have much of a history with this?
I think we've made a lot of new friends during this pandemic, yeah. Yeah, it really is kind of an eye-opener, the number of people that maybe have fond memories when they were little. Maybe grandma or grandpa brought them here, but then they kind of got busy in their lives and, you know, the mainstream ebb and flow of consumerism and that sort of thing has kind of left us along the wayside, but a lot of people have rediscovered the drive-in and how quickly and conveniently they can get food, and all our orders are cooked fresh to order, so nothing is held, and they seem to be very pleased with the quality of product and the speed of service.
David, I just have one more question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that everyone's sort of making ready for winter plans right now and that mm-hmm. you expect Dog and Suds will be closing down as usual. What do you do with yourself over the winter? Do you have a side business or something?
Well, a lot of maintenance and upgrades throughout the winter months. We take completely disassemble the place and clean it from top to bottom. We try to get a little bit of rest and relaxation in as well. I don't live in Florida or anything like that in the wintertime, which seems to be the most common misconception about me in my life. Throughout my career, I have networked with a lot of the other drive-in owners throughout the Midwest, and you know, we get together and share ideas, and I've even actually helped some of them with some of their equipment issues. There's nobody really doing the draft root beer machines anymore, so that's something that I seem to have some expertise in, so I help wherever I can.
David Hostica owns the Dog and Suds locations in Muskegon and Montague. David, thank you so much for talking to us, and we sure hope you and your staff have a safe wrap-up for the season.
Well, we certainly appreciate you calling and taking notice of the rediscovering or we're reviving the drive-in.
There are as many different takes on a safe and comfortable pandemic restaurant experience as there are residents of Michigan. Now that we've passed the six-month point, we wanted to check in with Detroit Free Press and restaurant beat writer Mark Kurlianchik to talk about what realities may be with us through the winter. Mark, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, April.
So we just talked to someone who runs a couple of drive-ins in Muskegon and Montague. Have you partaken at any drive-ins this year?
I have, actually. Just a story that just published today included a drive-in. I was up in the Upper Peninsula, actually on vacation with my family, but apparently so was the rest of downstate
Creation,
Michigan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because the line at Clyde's Drive-In in St. Ignace was, the first time we went was like 40 minutes. And we decided to turn around and made different plans. And then the next day, we just called our order ahead, zoomed right in and picked it up, curbside carryout. But yeah, I mean, those the drive-ins, the drive-thrus, the wing shops are running out of wings. I mean, it's crazy what's happening in some restaurants.
It's not hard to understand the appeal and the surge in business. So, Mark, we've been at this for a few months now. What do you think you're learning and what do you think restaurateurs are learning about what works and doesn't work for the food industry 6 months in?
What works and does, I mean, I think that they're still learning on the go. I mean, obviously outdoor dining this year has sort of been a saving grace. Many cities have shut down whole streets. Traverse City, for example, has shut down Front Street. And many businesses have said that that sort of has gotten them through the summer. So outdoor dining, it has literally kept the doors open. At I don't know how many restaurants, you know, I'm being a little hyperbolic here, but certainly outdoor dining has been key. And so that is really I think what's on everyone's mind as we go into this long Michigan winter that we're bound to have, you know, how do you keep up that momentum? Certainly, it wasn't gangbusters for everyone either, unless you were running a drive-through or a large carryout operation. So I think there's still a lot of anxiety about what's to come because the PPP funds did help keep the doors open. But most of the restaurateurs that I've talked to and the operators that I've spoken with have said that they ran out of that PPP money, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, or, you know, some are hoarding it for what everyone is preparing to be a really, really tough winter.
You know, Bridge Magazine has published a story this week that includes a state-level survey that was done in Michigan and some other spots that, quoting here, showed the survival threat to 23% of the 16,000-plus restaurants in the state, meaning 23% are concerned that they're going to close. Does that sound about right to you?
You know, I've been saying sort of since the start of the pandemic that about a third might not make it to 2021. So that number that you're citing there came from the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, but there's a sort of a new trade group that was formed during the pandemic that specifically represents independent restaurants, and it's called the Independent Restaurant Coalition. And they commissioned a study that found, it was an independent study that found, and this is a national figure, that 85% of restaurants could close without any further government intervention. So
independent restaurants.
Of independent restaurants, yeah. Correct. Yeah, I guess it also depends on what type of places are you thinking of. I think the chains, as you see that number from the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association, whose members tend to be larger corporate chains or, you know, multi-unit operators, they seem a little more ready to sort of weather the storm. It's on the independent restaurant side, you know, and that's sort of the side that we all really, particularly in the food and in the food media, try to prop up. I mean, that's where a lot of the fallout is expected to be.
Well, they are Michigan small businesses for sure. Last time we talked, it was looking bleak for white tablecloth restaurants.
Yeah.
What have you seen since then?
Well, interestingly enough, and I have not been to dine in myself, personally sort of limiting my dining in that I'm doing. There have been two new restaurants that have opened in Detroit, one in Milwaukee Junction from a former 2 Michelin star chef. And they're doing sort of high-end seafood Italian. Now, it's not quite white tablecloth, but I mean, you hear 2 Michelin stars. It's there. You know what I mean?
It's it's not bad, right?
Yeah. It's $75 for a 4-course prefix meal. So far, they seem to be doing pretty well, particularly on weekends. We had talked about this last time, that the prefix model does sort of help keep costs down, and it helps restaurants of that sort of ambition level prepare a little bit better, right? So you pay for your experience or most of your experience ahead of time, basically by buying tickets to dinner, and that helps the restaurant. And so far they've had some early success, you know, and so there is demand at least for this type of dining still. How much that has to do with the fact that there are so few options for that right now, that's sort of the variable that's hard to tell. Are people still excited for new restaurants, or is there just so few of these fine dining options left that they're going to a place like this?
Let's say that the status quo right now goes on for maybe another 6 months, maybe another year, dare I say, maybe another 18 months. What's that going to look like?
I made a sort of macabre joke to a friend the other day. You know, I feel like I'm sort of going into suicide watch at this point, because as the weather changes and we go indoors and, you know, these patios have to close, the PPP funds run out. I mean, there's so much still uncertainty about what the government is going to do, if anything. And I think there is some bipartisan support for a restaurant bailout fund that's geared towards these independent restaurants that I mentioned are you know, so much more at risk. But I think it's going to be, in no loose terms, a bloodbath this winter. You know, January and February are historically very slow months for Michigan's restaurant industry, especially without an auto show, especially at 50% capacity. The numbers just don't work. Unless you're doing carryout delivery, you've pivoted to a food pantry, you might be able to stay afloat if you have enough money in the bank. But we also know that most of these independent restaurants, they don't have enough money to go 2 weeks into the future because it is such a high cash flow industry. So I'm worried. Our communities could look significantly different on the other side of this thing if and when we come out of it, based just on the hospitality sector, which has been hit so hard in Michigan.
Mark, what's your impression of how service industry workers are doing? I mean, they've been on the job in conditions that might seem kind of frightening for a while now. I mean, do you get much of a vibe on how people are feeling about working with PPE and working with customers who may or may not be observing physical distance?
Yeah, I mean, you take out a pandemic and the restaurant industry is still super high stress. It'll burn you out. You know, you're juggling a ton of different things and typically for pretty low pay without health insurance on a weekend while you're probably missing time with your family. So, I mean, just even before the pandemic, you're already not really in an ideal work situation. You add something like an unseen virus into the equation and then the politicization of that said virus, and it just makes it untenable. You know, I overheard a server at a restaurant in the UP while I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago say to another customer, you know, that it had been the busiest summer that she had ever seen in 25 years in St. Ignace, where she happened to be. But she had never seen such horribleness, such rudeness and horribleness from customers as she had this summer as well. So it's been busy. And you're getting on top of that, you know, just real impatience. Everyone has been cooped up and we're expecting, you know, the same level of service, or, you know, we have our expectations of what dining out should feel like, but we haven't adjusted those expectations, or at least I should say enough of us have not adjusted those expectations for the new realities of this moment, you know. And so I implore anyone who is choosing to go dine out right now to please be respectful of your server. Don't make masks an issue. Just listen to them, be patient, and tip well.
Mark, I know that these are grim times, but I did want to ask you just briefly about a place that you wrote about, a spot in Marquette that just sounds amazing, the Dumpster Water Grill. It's getting crazy good reviews on Google's restaurant listings. Only problem being, it doesn't exist. Yes?
Yeah, this is, you know, you need to find a little levity, especially on the restaurant beat in these times. And I was happy. I stumbled upon this place while on vacation up in the Upper Peninsula with my family and, you know, sort of made this hastily made vacation that was in place of another one that had to be canceled and, you know, didn't have any dinner plans. And so I hit Google and yeah, it's got 4.9 stars on Google and, you know, really generous hours. It's open 24 hours, even in the pandemic. But yeah, it's all just this elaborate prank that folks, you know, perfect strangers from, you know, what appear to be all over the country have gotten in on. It's literally a dumpster. It's a listing for a dumpster in an alley in Marquette that someone as a joke made into a restaurant, basically, complete with a full menu, a website, a working phone number. The owner still replies to every review that comes in. And there, you know, there's like 65 five-star reviews that this place gets for the unique ambiance and the elevated service, which, you know, wink, wink, is provided probably by the rats for free. So yeah, we still have hope thanks to the Dumpster Water Grill.
Mark Kurlianchik of the Detroit Free Press. Mark, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, April.